Holman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So training camp opens today. Practice starts tomorrow. We hope Connor Newt will be out there. I'm still getting over being sick. I am not to the point where I think I can stand out in the heat for 3 hours at 92 degrees. Coming off of, again, where my son just knocked me out with whatever it was that he had. So I think I'm still probably a couple days away from being able to go out there on the practice field. So Connor may have to be my eyes and ears as far as what goes down tomorrow at practice. But one thing that I'll guarantee you will be back out at practice tomorrow is what I am now referring to as the Brian Callahan Peewee program. So as I think all of you are aware, this offseason, Brian Callahan thought long and hard about what happened last year and how they could fix it for this upcoming season. Now, in fairness to the personnel side of the team, they did get a right tackle this year, so I don't have to tell that story anymore. But instead of just saying, our team sucked, our team was so bad, and I was Mr. Nice Guy as coach, and I don't hold anybody accountable, Callahan said, we're going to come up with the Brian Callahan Peewee program, where we're going to take these 30-year-old guys, 25-year-old guys, millionaire athletes, and we're going to tell them, all right, we're going to play a game where if you jump off sides, -2 points for you, and we're going to have a competition, and whoever wins gets to silly string the losers, or whatever it ends up being. Again, I think that'd be a good question for Callahan tomorrow about, so what did the team that won the offseason competition, what did they get? And I have been shocked at how many people have bought into the Peewee program that are like, no, Jared, at least they're trying something different. This will encourage teamwork, and this will encourage accountability, and this will. So you mean to tell me that Brian Callahan's Peewee program is going to keep LeJarius Sneed from shooting up car dealerships in the future? I have a hard time with that. So today I wondered, when it came to Brinker and Borgonzi, I wondered, are these guys in on the Peewee program? Or when Brian Callahan came to them and said, hey, here's my brand new idea. Nobody's ever thought of this. You'll see. They said, okay, Brian, great job, buddy. And they turned around and said, this freaking guy. And I wondered. I really did. You know, the Titans put out 2 off-season videos, the Titans of Tennessee, the behind-the-scenes YouTube bullcrap videos. And Brinker and Borgonzi were featured in the first one only with press conference sound. They did not do a sit-down interview, whereas Callahan and his coaches did sit-down interviews, and they were not featured at all in the second one that came out yesterday. And I was wondering if that was if Brian wants to do his video, he can do his video, but we're too busy actually doing real stuff and not worried about that. And so I wondered, were Brinker and Borgonzi, they weren't going to openly crap on it the way that I have openly crapped on it, but were they going to give it the stamp of approval, or were they going to say, yeah, you know, it was really exciting to see and move on? And I'll be damned. They put the stamp of approval. This was Chad Brinker, I think basically unprompted, about the Brian Callahan Peewee program.
Yeah, I think that the off-season program, I was really impressed with what Brian did and how competitive it was within the rules. And just the seeing the growth in some of the players and how certain players really have bought in, or really not just bought in, but use a phrase that Mike uses a lot, is that they believe in what we're doing, which is really important. And I'm excited about what we have going on right now, knowing where we are as a football program. But there's, you know, I get it. There's not a lot of star power on this roster right now. I do think there are some stars that will come through at some point. We're excited about the draft class. You know, obviously, you got Cam Ward, and he's got a lot of work to do and a long road ahead of him too. But I mean, I think you all have seen the talent. It's pretty impressive. And you asked the question earlier about him, and just the way he's gaining the respect of his teammates is something that I've seen from the peripheral of. It's been impressive, but we also know this is a performance-based business, so he's got to go out and perform, and he knows that. And when he does, it's just going to elevate the entire program. So there's just a lot of improvement that we got to make all across the board.
Okay. The beginning of that was, I think, a stamped endorsement of the Brian Callahan Peewee program. And then here was Mike Borgonzi. And again, these Borgonzi cuts, because he doesn't want to say much, are usually about 13 seconds long. This, I think, is the longest Borgonzi cut from the press conference when asked about Brian Callahan. Here's what he said.
You can see it in the spring, you know, the way he interacts with the players, you know, the way that he communicates with them. And you could see them develop over the spring. And, you know, I think he's got a really good control of the team. I've been impressed with that. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be an evaluation process here as we go through training camp, as we get into the season, and how he develops these players and how the coaching staff does. And so far, they've done a tremendous job.
And I'll just add there, TD, I wanted Brian or Mike to speak on it because, you know, this is the first time he's had an opportunity to work with Brian. And I think he's been really impressed with Brian and just how smart he is. And he's a good football coach. And I know personally I've seen him grow from year one to year two like anybody would, whether it's a new GM or a new head coach or any position in your organization. There's a confidence there that I've been impressed with, and the way he's communicated with the players, with his staff, with everybody in the building, I've seen tremendous growth in Brian. We believe in Brian. I think he's done a really good job heading this offseason, but obviously, you know, as we head into the season, you know, we got to get these players' development. It's a big part of our program. We've been preaching draft and develop, and that's not going away. We need to have coaches who are just the best teachers that we can possibly find that can help these players, you know, reach their potential. So by year three of a rookie deal, we know what we're dealing with. Is this a guy that we can really build a future around, or do we have to replace it, you know, with another younger player or somebody else? So the development piece of this is essential, and I've been really impressed with Brian from the coaching development and just the whole understanding the big picture of how to run a football team.
Okay, so again, stamp Brinker and Borgonzi on the Brian Callahan Peewee program. Stamp. Now, I do think, should we play the disclaimer, Connor, just so we give everybody the full picture here?
Sure.
Okay. Take what Chad Brinker says with a grain of salt, because this was Chad Brinker, you know, 20 months ago.
And Rand is a tremendous person, you know, as far as an evaluator and the relationships he has around the league. And we really wanted to allow him to flourish in that role. Rand brings in a lot of good people, and that's something that this organization can be proud of first and foremost. But I do know we have the right GM. You know, Rand Carthon's going to do some great things. He and Brian Callahan just kind of getting this team together. There's a lot of excitement around it. You know, hope is a powerful thing. We're hopeful that the fan base sees that and is excited about what we're doing. Now, this is where Rand Carthon is just masterful. He has these relationships with these players in a way that most of us in the building don't. We're just so aligned, he and I. And, you know, Rand talks about he has this acronym, FIT, fast, instinctive, and tough football players. And I love that. I was like, man, I love that. That's kind of an identity of the team that you want to build. Yeah, Rand's a big part of that. Rand's the one that's really connected with those players in a way that probably no one else has in the building.
Okay, so when it comes to the Chad Brinker stamp of approval, I mean, let's keep in mind that that was what he said about Rand Carthon, and then a year later they fired him. So keep that, again, in mind. Maybe they're telling the truth. I don't know. So I guess I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't believe in Brian Callahan, and I do not believe in the Brian Callahan Peewee program. I am rooting for Brian Callahan because I am a Titans fan, and I am rooting for Brian Callahan because I believe he is a genuinely good guy, and I want good things to happen to genuinely good people. But I'm betting against him. I do not believe. And I keep hearing about changes Callahan has made. Brinker said it there in that cut about the changes from year one to year two. And I keep wondering, what are the changes? Has he held anybody accountable? How about Jeffrey Simmons? How about L'Jarius Sneed? How about, you know, the guys that clearly have their own agendas? Well, we played many games this year during the offseason program, and I'm sitting here thinking, that's it? Like, that's it. And the best player didn't even show up for this transformative mini game program that they have. So I hear Callahan and Borgonzi talking about, Brinker and Borgonzi talking about, Callahan, he's the best. And I haven't seen anything that makes me think Brian Callahan is a good coach. And I mean anything. But I got to ask, what changes did Brian Callahan actually make? Again, other than the Pee Wee program. Or am I the only person on the planet that thinks that the Pee Wee program is, in fact, for Pee Wee football players? Like, if Jeffrey Simmons throws a punch tomorrow at practice, is he going to kick him out? If Cam Ward is talking trash and doesn't hear the play call and the play clock expires, is Callahan just going to say, oh, okay, delay a game, but that's okay, Cam. Minus 2 points for Cam's team, but Cam will understand. Remember last year when, it was hot outside. That's why Levis and Ridley aren't throwing the ball. Is it going to be the same, or are there actual changes? Because all I've seen this offseason is the same patronizing nice guy stuff where the coach is afraid to tell anybody what to do. Remember last year, Brian Callahan was upset that the TV cameras caught him chewing out Will Levis because he doesn't want the world to know that he used the F word. The same coaching staff, Denard Wilson and Tracy Rocker, who never criticized Jeffrey Simmons, who has the worst attitude and bad production for somebody making $23.5 million, and they're like, oh, Jeff, he's so good. And that's all I've seen. So somebody tell me these changes. I need to know. Or is it really as simple as, well, you know, they set up this Mario Party minigame bullcrap this offseason, and we're going to see. Because once again, spare me the Brian Callahan Pee Wee program. But apparently Brinker and Borgonzi love it. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. We'll get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 here on the program. We will get to your phones. There is one thing I still cannot get over about the Pee Wee program, and I'm a little disappointed that nobody asked today when Brinker was just riffing about it. We'll get to that next. Stoneman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.
One of the things I felt like lacked from our season last year was we just needed more out of the time we were together here in the offseason and in training camp. How do we better connect our team? I showed a clip to our team, Steve Kerr, talking about what wins in his experiences is you obviously have to have good players. But the joy and competition are the two things that he's always talked about.
Nice ball. Almost there, Hook. Right on it. You're right on it. Out the gate.
There we go, there we go.
That's it. Good job.
So a route that I've never done before. I've not seen done a lot of different places, so I think it's a bit unique to us, which is exciting. As we divided our team into eight different teams, so each team has a captain and an alternate.
Well, Morgan, you guys are hanging on to a lead. Hanging on to a lead.
There's about 11 to 12 players and usually 2 to 3 coaches on every single team. We'll have an off-season winner, team total, and then we'll have a training camp winner with a team total. And so we compete at everything.
The Brian Callahan Pee Wee program. And I know a lot of you out there are like, Jared, you're too hard on him, including my dad. Jared, you're too hard on it. Here's what I can't get over. Everybody tells me that this Brian Callahan Pee Wee program is so transformational. It's so incredible. Oh, my God, this is going to be so great. I mean, if it's so great and it's such a big deal, why did Jeffrey Simmons completely blow it off? Man, this is so big for our team. But Simmons didn't go. Oh, well, Simmons, he doesn't need to go. But he's the best player on the team. If you're telling me things like accountability and leadership matter, then the best player on the team, saying, screw it, I don't need the Pee Wee program. It's not a good look for the validity of the Pee Wee program. And yet, I'm the only person, it feels like, in this town that looks at the ridiculousness of Callahan acting like this is going to make a difference on October 18th. And I know, Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan can't criticize Simmons for not going to OTAs because it is technically voluntary. You know, and the union got in trouble, reportedly, for telling the truth regarding the old hold-in. So they can't even, you know, bat an eyelash one way or another. But I cannot take the Pee Wee program seriously when Jeffrey Simmons said, screw it, I don't want to go. And then it's like, well, give him the benefit of the doubt. Why? Why? Why does Brian Callahan, who won three games last year, deserve the benefit of the doubt? And if this Pee Wee program is so great, why didn't Tom Landry think of it? Or Mike Ditka? And I understand everybody's always looking for the new way, and this is certainly not Tom Landry's era. But I actually need to see that -3 points for lining up in the neutral zone matter in a football game before I sit back and say, man, I'll tell you, Callahan, he's got it all figured out. And yet, it feels like most of the people in the media are just lapping this crap up. And apparently Brinker and Borgonzi put their stamp of approval on it today, even though, as we did, we had to play the Brinker disclaimer of how great Rand Carthon is, and then he kind of fired him. So, you know, they keep that in mind. Phone lines are by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Gorilla has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Gorilla, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Jared, you've outdone yourself this time, buddy. You get the Hater of the Year award. I'm talking about, we haven't even had Hater of the Year for 25, but you already got it. Check this out, Jared. Have you ever played organized sports?
Yes.
Well, you probably wasn't that good. Do you understand that? Well, let me take that back, because you'll run with that right there. Because on top of being a hater, you are like a real sleazy public defender. I like how you put that.
What?
That
What makes me a sleazy public defender?
Yeah, public defender.
Like what kind of public defender? Like a public defender that doesn't win, or like Johnny Cochran?
No, the public defenders that don't win.
Oh,
the
please.
Yeah, anyway.
Hey, okay. If the glove does not fit.
Okay, well, all right, not a public defender. Let's just say an injury lawyer.
Hey, Justice, is your right. We'll demand it.
Hey, check this out, man. This is what I like about that so-called Pee Wee program. Do you understand, first off, the competitive nature of super duper competitive individual.
Hey, Gorilla.
I mean, if you
Gorilla, my turn to talk now. Do you know who the best general manager in the history of the Tennessee Titans is?
Huh?
Do you know who the best general manager in the history of the Tennessee Titans is?
Oh, Floyd Reese, hands down.
Guy knows a thing or two about ball, right?
Yeah.
He told me players respond to two things: money and playing time. He said it is the only currency NFL players know. Now, are you going to go against that and say, well, Floyd Reese doesn't know what he's talking about?
Well, you know what I'm going to go against? You know what I'm going to push back on? Okay, Floyd Reese doesn't have these kids that we're dealing with today. Floyd Reese doesn't have those kids. And then something else I'll push back on is, I'll reiterate, and that is the competitive spirit, breeding a competitive spirit. You take a Michael Jordan, for instance. If Michael Jordan is playing you in cards, he's wanting to beat you. If he doesn't beat you, he's going to probably tear up the cards and just storm out upset and then go and drop.
What is Michael Jordan playing for 40, with the 40, cards?
40, 40, for, no, listen to what I'm saying. It's a competitive nature. You give wolves.
Right, but it still involves money.
You give wolves something to hunt. You give them something to hunt. It's those kids are getting paid. Those
Gorilla, who on this team is Michael Jordan?
Come on, man. We're not okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Again, when you're gonna sit here and tell me, you know, hey, Michael Jordan, he was competitive and yeah. By the way, Michael Jordan, when he's out there on the golf course, he's not playing for fun. He's not playing for made up Brian Callahan Pee Wee program points. He's like, yeah, this golf shot, I'll put it on the green, $100,000. That's what Michael Jordan's doing. Again, because what do those guys understand? Money and playing time. That's what they know. Not made up peewee program points. The winning team gets an ice cream day at the end of training camp. Like, dude, all these guys can buy an ice cream shop if they want to. Oh, my God. The peewee program. I am kind of just, I can't laugh because I've had like a sinus infection or whatever, and it's like now right in my chest, so if I laugh, I'm going to start coughing. But I'm reading some of these texts into the text line. One texter says, I remember Joe Montana raving about the Bill Walsh peewee program. Oh, that hurts. Oh, man, that hurts. The peewee program. One texter says, it's so hard not to have a love-hate relationship with you. Let me tell you this, and maybe they'll describe it differently, I don't know. When it comes to the Titans and the Predators, I do feel as if I have a love-hate relationship with both of them. And that I love them, and they love me, and I hate them, and they hate me. Like, I think I've got a love-hate relationship with all the teams in town. Maybe not Nashville SC. I don't have much of a relationship with them. But, again, and, like, I don't think the Sounds hate me, and I don't hate the Sounds. But I've got a love-hate relationship with the Titans and a love-hate relationship with the Predators. So when you're like, hey, it's hard not to have a love-hate relationship with you, I get it. I get it. But, I mean, give me a break about the Brian Callahan peewee program. One texter says, Jeff Simmons didn't know they were having a peewee program. I'm sure he would have went, but he thought it was just normal off-season workouts, and he's too good for that. I'm kidding, the texter says. Again, I'm laughing at some of this stuff. It's just, again, the fact that Chad Brinker today, granted, Chad Brinker said a lot of bull crap, you know, over the last couple of years, and we have documented that. Again, we're the only people that document that, but we have documented that very well on this program. But I just can't get over this idea that, like, man, I just thought this offseason program was incredible, you know, that Brian Callahan came up with. I'm like, am I the only person in the planet that thinks this is what we did in middle school on field day? We used to play a game in PE at USN called Treasure Sponge. That's what this is. It's like dodgeball. Who's going to be camper of the week? Like, what? What is going on? Craig says, Brian Callahan should screw the point system in the peewee program. He should go full Herman Boone. That is the coach from Remember the Titans. Everyone in your squad has to run a mile if you screw up. I bet the same person won't keep jumping off sides. Yeah, and I'm sure the players won't love the peewee program as much anymore. If, again, hey, you drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. And if you fumble the football, I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts, and then you will run a mile. If everybody had to run a mile for screwing up at training camp, I guarantee you they wouldn't like the Brian Callahan peewee program anymore. They'd hate it. Ah, the peewee program. 615-737-1025 here on our program. 615-737-1025. I mean, hold on one second. I mean, it is wild to me, like absolutely wild to me, some of these texts that I'm reading, and I'm just laughing out loud. All right, speaking of self-aggrandizing, I am owed an apology, and I'm owed an apology by a lot of you people. The Midday Show today, they kind of gave their apology today, but I expect better out of you people. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.
You mentioned some situation. You know, this was initially a quad bruise, and he's now been out for, you know, all of last year and now lingering into this year. Why has that been so troublesome?
I mean, he did have a cleanup on his knee in May, which set him back a little bit, but he's making, you know, progress here. He's really worked hard. He's been here during the summer. So, you know, he's heading in the right direction. And like I said, we're hopeful to get him back here soon.
Guys come back from cleanups in May to be ready for the start of camp. pretty regularly, if I'm not mistaken. You saw the other side of the knee in Kansas City where the Chiefs gave up on him. I mean, what's the level of concern with him being able to be a contributor for this team come September, plus with the legal issues hanging over him? How good can you reasonably feel about him at this stage?
Listen, I've keep in contact with LJ all the time. You know, he's worked really hard to get back, and I feel really confident that he's going to be back.
There you go. That was today. Mike Borgonzi feels very confident Legarius Sneed's going to be back, but he wants everybody to know it's not the quad, it's the knee. Remember the knees that when they acquired him, I said, wait a minute. Why is nobody else in the league interested in trading for these knees? Why did Minnesota offer more than you offered and then take it back when they found out about the knees? Why is Carrington Harrison, a reputable radio host in Kansas City, a guy I'm co-workers with at Mad Dog, Carrington Harrison is saying on the air, those Legarius Sneed knees are worse than you think. You may say, oh, it's not that bad. And Carrington said on the air, he said, no, it's that bad. Legarius Sneed needs to take the money and he needs to go somewhere else. And so I kept saying, wait a minute, whoa, what about these knees? I talked to an agent who said, you can actually sign the contract and you can guarantee him for injury, but you can put a waiver in there to say, okay, hey, if the knee, which is an issue, then it voids the guarantees. Caroline asked him when he came on the midday show right after he signed, and Legarius Sneed was like, what? No, it's, the money's fully guaranteed. And I thought, oh, God, the Titans are stupid. And so last year, because everybody kept saying, Jared, you're a hater, and Rand Carthon, they're going to show you. And I kept saying, why did nobody else in the league want these knees? And so last year, Legarius Sneed got hurt against the Colts. Been well documented. He got hurt. They said, let me emphasize that for you, they said it was a helmet to the quad. Now, I went back and watched the tape. And I didn't see a helmet to the quad. And Legarius Sneed played 99% of the snaps in that game and made the last Tennessee Titan tackle in the Indianapolis game. But hey, things happen. You know, I get it. So it's a quad bruise. Again, it was a helmet to the quad. He missed 1 week. He missed 2 weeks. He missed 3 weeks. I said, hold on, wait a minute. This is a quad bruise and he's out for 6 weeks? And they're not going to put him on IR? That doesn't make any sense. That's fishy. I even made the joke. What was it, like a Roman battle helmet with the spike at the top that went right through the quad? I mean, what are we doing here? And then they put him on IR in December. And Brian Callahan said, well, it was a quad bruise, but it was also a quad strain. And so that's why it didn't get better, and that's why it wasn't the knee. It was. And I said, bull crap. And Adam, Derek, and Willie were all like, oh, well, the Titans say it's the quad. And Twitter, oh, the Titans say it's the quad. And I said, right, the Titans say a lot of things. Just because they say it doesn't make it true. So we need to understand that. I even had somebody with the Titans that was blowing my phone up saying, you're accusing the Titans of lying. That's not right. That's not. I'm like, it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, and I think it's a duck. I think you bought a lemon, and I was trying to tell you that it was a lemon at the time. Everybody else in the NFL was trying to tell you it was a lemon. The Chiefs, going for a three-peat, said, no, take them, it'll be okay. Go ahead, take them, because it was a lemon. And you don't want to admit that you're really as stupid as we think. So they lied, and they said it was the quad. And then after the season, Legarius Sneed, who during the season basically pled the fifth when asked when he was going to get back, Legarius Sneed shows up in the locker room in a brace. And he says, well, I had a bone marrow injection into my quad. So I talked to a doctor who works on NFL players, including Titans players, and I said, does this track? Like, does this make any sense? In fact, I screenshotted TD's report, which is what Snead had told TD. And I said, does this make any sense? And the doctor said, no. Said you wouldn't be in a brace if you had a bone marrow injection in the quad, you know, a PRP injection. You wouldn't be in a brace 6 weeks after the fact. What I think the doctor said is more likely is that he had the Oates surgery, which is a knee cartilage surgery. So he probably had the Oates surgery in January or whatever, and that's why he's in the brace. And he's saying it's the quad because he doesn't want to tell people it's the knee. Because remember, Titan fans, you have nothing to worry about Legarius Sneed's knees. So here we are in July. That Colts game was 8 months and 2 weeks ago. So here we are in July. And finally, Mike Borgonzi says, it's a knee. And I think I'm owed an apology by everyone, but especially by Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick. And you at the Titans, you know who you are, that got all bent out of shape last December when I was like, it's the knee, and they just are lying about it because they don't want to look stupid. Oh, but Jared, they said it was a quad. Even yesterday, TD reported that Snead was going to open up on the PUP list, and he listed it as a quad, which means somebody told him it was the quad. And see, I actually like this about Mike Borgonzi. I don't think he has the patience to bullcrap the way that Ran and Chad and Brian Callahan do. I think it's more like Vrabel and J-Rob. Like, he's got a bullcrap meter, and at some point he says, I can't do it anymore. And he's like, all right, fine. He gave up the charade, and he's like, I mean, the reason he's going on PUP is because of the knee. A quad. You people owe me an apology. And then freaking Easton Freeze. Somebody sent this into the text line. Easton Freeze, who I've never seen somebody that just laps up Brian Callahan the way Easton Freeze does, says Snead's knee hasn't ever been what's kept him out of games. It's a load management issue. The quad is what derailed him all this time. Much better historical precedent dealing with the knee than the quad. It's okay to not believe everything the Titans say. It's okay. But Jared, are you calling the Titans liars? Well, let's see. I asked John Robinson a week before the NFL draft, are you going to trade A.J. Brown on Thursday? And he said, I don't foresee that happening. As Maury Povich would say, the lie detector determined that was a lie. Mike Vrabel said he and Rand Carthon were best buddies. They brought TD into the facility. They sat down with him, and they said, hey, trust us. We're best buddies. We're locking arms. We see eye to eye. We're pumping sunshine. The lie detector determined that was a lie. Don't even get me started on Rand Carthon. They're lying. And now they're not, because Mike Borgonzi's just given up the charade. But, I mean, at this point, and I'm a big, look, I am self-aware enough to know that I am a big, I was right kind of guy. I get it. But it's not even fun anymore on the Snead front. Because for some reason, it's like you people don't want to admit it. And there's now just overwhelming evidence that the Titans made a terrible decision led by a terrible general manager and a head coach who does not need to be making roster decisions. And I don't know where Brinker was in all of this, but he was here. I mean, Borgonzi was selling you the lemon. And everybody else in the league knew it. Everybody else knew it. And I am so thankful that Mike Borgonzi actually had the nuts today to say, yeah, it's a knee. Because if he didn't, I swear to you, if he came out and said, yeah, you know, the quad, we're trying to get it right, and he's done what the doctors have said, and he's working hard here in the facility. You know, again, can we play that cut again? Listen, Terry asked about the quad and how ridiculous it is about the quad being, he could have torn that quad off the bone 8 months and 2 days ago, and he'd be totally fine by now. Listen to the question that Terry asked, and where Borgonzi is finally like, okay, enough with the charade.
You mentioned some situation, you know, this was a initially a quad bruise, and he's now been out for, you know, all of last year and now lingering into this year. Why has that been so troublesome?
I mean, he did have a cleanup on his knee in May. Which set him
so, I mean, right there, he's like, all right, enough of the quad. If he had said, oh, no, he's working his hardest and we expect to see him out there, I think you people would have said, see, it's a quad. Unbelievable. I actually kind of like Borgonzi. I think he's got a bullcrap meter where he can only go so long and then eventually it's like, that's enough. I can't do this anymore. And Chad and Rand and Brian Callahan can go on and 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 on. And there's a difference there. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company on 1025 The Game.
And the Bengals have offered him a new deal. My understanding, though, is despite the relatively close nature of the conversations in terms of what the overall numbers would be on a contract, they are not there in terms of the guaranteed money. The Bengals are on the very, very short list of NFL teams that still, in general, only guarantee the reporting bonus, the signing bonus, the initial year of the contract. They have bent that rule in recent years for the likes of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to get those deals done. To this point, they have not been willing to do the same with Trey Hendrickson. He has made clear he wants a new multi-year commitment. Until that happens, it does appear that Trey Hendrickson is going to stay away.
Okay, that was Tom Pelissero on NFL Network. And I do want to talk about this Bengals thing like a quick little Titans breather, simply because this Bengals stuff is wild. So if you have been following, Trey Hendrickson is the NFL's leading sacker. He is an all-pro. He is the only good thing, I think you can say, about the Bengals' 25th-ranked defense in the NFL. And Sam Hubbard, who was the other pass rusher, he retired. They drafted Shamar Stewart in the first round. He has not yet signed, and it doesn't look like he's going to sign. So the Bengals, this thing is wild. So yesterday, apparently the Bengals have a yearly team luncheon where the coaches and the coordinators and the personnel people and even the owner sit down. You know, it's all coat and tie, and they sit down and they meet with the media, and the owner spoke yesterday, and he made it sound as if he thought they were going to get a deal done with Trey Hendrickson. Now, on the Shamar Stewart front, they said that the agent is in the wrong, and all the Bengal media people and all the Bengals fans on Twitter lapped it up. And I know this, and I don't understand why, but apparently my For You Twitter algorithm gives me a lot of Bengals news. Maybe it has something to do with what I said about Joe Burrow yesterday on the show. I don't know. But I get a lot of Bengals news, apparently, on my For You Twitter feed. And so I'm seeing all these Bengals fanboy bloggers being like, yeah, Shamar Stewart, he's screwing up. And the Bengals aren't doing anything wrong. And yeah, he says Trey Hendrickson, they're going to get a deal done. Then this morning happened. Trey Hendrickson didn't report, and he posted a photo of him going to Florida. So let me say this. I saw that the owner spoke yesterday. The Bengals have a reputation for being, and it is a notorious reputation, of being cheap. Floyd told me, and I don't know if this is true or not, but he told me that the way it worked was if you didn't spend all the money in the salary cap, then at the end of the year, you would get the money that you didn't spend. So let's say there's $5 million under the cap you don't spend. Now it rolls over, but I guess in the old days it was, okay, here's $5 million. And that what the Bengals would do is they would say, all right, here's $1 million for you, here's $1 million for you, here's $1 million for you, and here's $1 million for you. And that was amongst the Brown family. They would split up the money and laugh and whatnot. They've pushed back on their cheap reputation. And I give them a little credit because they are paying Burrow. They did pay Ja'Marr Chase. Now, it took them kicking and screaming to do it. They paid T. Higgins after two franchise tags. So they have done a little pay. But I don't buy all this stuff about, oh, we think we're going to get a deal done with Trey Hendrickson. Their fans just take it to the bank, and then all of a sudden he's in Florida. Oh, it's Shamar Stewart's agent that's screwing this up. It's not a Bengal clown show that's screwing it up. Now, he did say one thing, Mike Brown said, that I actually understand and I think is kind of a big deal. He talked about his goal when it came to the money was to be able to make it so that his family could inherit the team. And it's not as simple as you think. It's not as simple as I own the Denver Broncos, I die, and Jack inherits the Denver Broncos. I mean, it is that simple, but it's not. So the Denver Broncos are worth $7 billion. So if you aren't one of these mega trillionaires like David Tepper in Carolina, you're going to have to pay taxes. Your descendants are going to have to pay an estate tax. And that's going to be a lot of money on $7 billion. And so these organizations that have been passed down where it's the family business, they don't have the other assets and the other monies to be able to pay those estate taxes. So I'm sure there's got to be some clever accounting that they have to come up with. And I think that's real. You know, again, if you're a hedge fund billionaire and you die and it goes to your kids, that's just money. It's like, okay, you know, there's $4 billion and the government takes half. So now here's your check for $2.3 billion or whatever it ends up being. Well, you can't do that with a football team. And you can't do that. Like if you own a farm, you can't do that with a farm. So I do understand that. Everything else, I don't buy. I do not buy that the Bengals are committed to winning, because that Bengal team last year finished 9-8, and they started the year 1-4, and they lost 4 one-score games, and it was all because of the defense. It was all 38 points allowed this week and 41 points allowed this week. And the only good player they have on that defense is Trey Hendrickson. He's the only one. And so the leverage Trey Hendrickson has to get a new contract is basically to look at the Bengals and say, do you want to fix this defense or do you not? And it feels like the Bengals' response to that is, no, not really. I mean, we'd like to fix the defense, but we don't really want to fix the defense. It's like everybody who's overweight, including me, everybody wants to lose weight. But do you really want to lose weight? I'll have pizza tonight. Yeah, you probably don't. That's the Bengals. They had the 25th ranked defense last year. In fact, there was one game at the end of the season, I think it was the Steelers, where Joe Burrow's sitting on the bench, and I saw this in the Netflix documentary. Joe Burrow is sitting on the bench, and he's looking up at the scoreboard, and he says, where you at, Trey? And Trey Hendrickson comes around, sacks the quarterback, quarterback fumbles, they recover, Bengals win. Like Burrow's sitting on the bench saying, Trey, you're the only guy we have on defense. Please go make a play. I also saw that Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator, the former Miami coach, he's their new D coordinator. He said that during the spring, Joe Burrow came into the meeting room and he watched the film with the defense so he could go over with the defense what he sees as a quarterback. And I thought to myself, wow, this year Joe Burrow has decided he's going to coach defense as well as the whole team. Poor Joe Burrow. I mean, if Joe Burrow ever wins a Super Bowl with that stooge of a franchise, I mean, first ballot right to Canton. Don't even think about it. Like, we should be having Burrow-Brady discussions if he wins with that crap bag franchise. Again, they're saying that the player's at fault when it comes to Shamar Stewart. And a lot of people believe that, but how can I believe that when you're also saying, oh, we're going to get a deal done with Trey Hendrickson, and then he wakes up this morning in Florida? 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. I think the Bengals are starting to become my second team. You know, when your team is as bad as the Titans are, you need a second team. And so I covered the Patriots during the Munchak-Wisenhunt era, so they became my second team up there in New England. You know, when I was up in New Hampshire, I'm not a Patriot guy anymore. So I think I need a second team. I think it's Burrow. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So there's something I walked away from the Titans press conference today, Brinker and Borgonzi, that I do feel like I'm on the same page with them, except for when it gets to the number one way to fix the problem. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company, and let's give something away. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Live with Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, August 10th. Good luck there. And tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. Pregame begins at 6:20, and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and by Family Leisure.